Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr.
I'm going to leave the city.
Whistle. Go on.
Got to get away.
Go on, get to the tune. See, look at that. It's fun, right?
Yep.
Irritating for everyone else.
No, I love it.
I had a great old time.
I bet you Christian Walsh is a whistle.
Jolly old time.
He's about
He'd have too much respect for
him. He would be
fellow.
He strikes me as being the sort of bloke that just happily goes about his business whistling. And nobody around him would feel that that was any position into their...
I would.
Well, I'd like to see you tell him that.
I'd get right up in his grill.
Story time with old mates, thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied customers. NBN from just $59. Search Mate online. We'll get back to Spitman as well this hour because we've got two. Chris Scott's overwhelmingly winning our poll, by the way.
Over Brad.
Yeah. So if you're not going to have him in as the Scott brothers, Chris is going to go in instead of Brad. Are you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you've got to let the people, they...
Well, that's right.
People power.
That's correct. That's what we do on this show. Mm-hmm. They're aiming for their 18th straight win when they face Canberra tomorrow night at the Sunshine Coast Stadium, Storm 8-8 at the venue. They wouldn't be doing any of this without him. He's the rock. He's their backbone. He's their spiritual leader. And he's their spine. And I'm not talking about Craig Bellamy. I'm talking about Christian Walsh, who's been good enough to join us on the show. Like all of that?
Linchpin.
How are you, big man?
Oh, mate, sounds like you've been drinking again a bit early.
Good to be on, boys. Good to be on. Only on Friday arvos, mate, by this stage. are you going for a walk, taking the dog for a walk or out in the garden or, you know, whatever, just you're in a good frame of mind. Are you a whistler?
A whistle. I did hear those nasty comments, Bob, but a little one, yeah, a little bit.
But that's okay. Whistling on your own. What if you were in a team dinner sort of situation? And
so that wasn't distracting.
Yes, it was.
I'm nothing but respectful to my teammates, and I certainly wouldn't be playing any pranks or disturbing any of them. It's a big thing.
What if you're in an elevator? A couple of your teammates hopped in. You're going up to level 13. So there's a 35 second wait. Would you be tempted to drift into a little whistle?
No, probably not. Not an elevator.
Why not?
Because it's rude.
Why not, Christian?
I'm staying out of this. I'm completely indifferent to whistling, to be honest, and I don't want to be involved in this.
All right, we'll move on then. Another conversation we're having on the show today, because one of our coaches, Danny, sort of spat the dummy with a couple of media inquisitions today. Who's the biggest dummy spitter amongst the Melbourne Storm blokes? Is there somebody there who, get a bad decision or, things just don't quite go right for them? Or maybe not even in the Melbourne Storm, in the NRL.
Yeah, throw the toys out of the cot.
Yeah. Ooh. Is there somebody who's renowned for that sort of behaviour?
It's
a bit of a question without notice, but, you can think on your feet.
Well, I have sat in the box. I mean, the easy one's Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, he's really good.
Coming after your children, on a game of footy field, he takes that seriously. He thinks the world's after him. So I'd probably have to nominate old Belzer, but he does an amazing job in the journey from the coaching box down to halftime, where he comes across quite measured and calm. So I don't know how he does it, but he might whistle in the elevator as well, fellas.
Well, that might be it. But just calming.
Yeah.
How uncompromising! I read an excerpt from a book. I don't even know whose book it was, Christian, about Bellamy and how he changed the kind of... He knew the Melbourne Storm sort of culture, for want of a better word, needed to change when he got there. There's this view that, they're a lovely football team and you can play some good football, but you're not hard enough. When the pressure's really on, this is a team that can go missing. And he sort of made a sort of blanket line in the sand when he got to the club that wasn't going to be tolerated anymore. I wonder whether that's something that is enhanced and mentioned, and is it something that he, at training, is a true... When you're there and you're training, you do it with a game day type intensity, an uncompromising intensity that he expects all the time?
Yeah, I think that kind of sums up our preseason, and it's not enjoyable, and you kind of don't have a loss for those kind of 3 or 4 months, but you know, it's shown that it works. I think it's all about executing under duress and having mentally and physically strong players. So we, obviously our GPS, our data, we try and train above an NRL game pace in all our preseason sessions. And then, you know, we have little things like the I Don't Quit Camp, that, you know, the famous Adelaide Crow boys, they do that every year at the Storm. And Craig's hiding in bushes, keeping an eye on blokes. And, yeah, it's all about basically your pre-season is harder than anything you'll face on a game of footy. So, you know, basically your preparation, you know, you don't rise in your performance, you fall back to your training. I think that's one of the mottos some of our conditioning staff have used. So, yeah, it's all about, I suppose, training above, harder, longer and tougher in the pre-season, getting the body ready for a pretty long season.
So, Christian, you've just got a five-day turnaround from last week to this week's game. Is that a factor for you guys, or is days between game your sort of recovery and mindset is sort of not too sort of fussed about that?
Yeah, they pull it up a bit for those ones. Which players actually don't mind it, to be honest. Well, we don't mind it because the coaches can't get stuck into you. It's all about just getting recovered and getting up for the game, basically. So it's not a bad week. As I'm talking to you fellas, I'm sitting on the balcony. My roommate, Cameron Munch, is cooking up his famous chicken pesto. So we've had a light week and we're raring to go, boys.
The whole notion that a whinge isn't tolerated at Melbourne Storm. You just deal with anywhere, anytime. Cope with whatever the coaches throw at you. Cope with whatever the game throws at you. You don't win 17 in a row if you can't do that. You don't cope with living away from home the way you guys have for, you know, the better part of the last couple of years without having that attitude. Is that something that when you come to the Melbourne Storm, if you haven't got that, it's going to be hard to hang on to a spot at the club?
Yeah, I think so. I think to stay at the club, for, you know, any long period of time, yeah, you're going to struggle. And I think it starts, you know. And another thing we do at the preseason is the 2-week work program where you get sent off to job sites and to do all the physical, you know, removalist stuff. You kind of go into those tradie sites where they dump all the industrial bins and you sit through them. So you go to do weights at 5 a.m. You go to a job site, work for 8 hours, and you come back and they train you at night, 5:30. And you get home probably about 8:30, try and get some food in, and you get some sleep. So you do that for 2 weeks. So it really gives you an appreciation of how privileged we have it as professional athletes, in today's world. And I think it really makes you appreciate our position compared to, you know, there's some tough jobs. I tell you what, I've got to respect some of those hands-on labouring jobs that people do every day to provide for their family. So, you know, plenty of respect for those guys, and it kind of makes you think, you know what, this isn't too bad. You know, like, we're up in Queensland, we're still playing footy. You know, some of the guys haven't been able to have their families up here, but it's not going to be on for too much longer. I certainly feel for everyone back in Melbourne going through another lockdown with this terrible COVID situation we've got.
Christian, I imagine I've heard stories about that, the 2 weeks on the work site. Are there sort of varying degrees of adjustment to that by young players coming in to the Storm and having that experience? And how did you find it? Did you sort of take to it okay? You seem to be a sort of easy going. Nothing seems to fluster you. Did you sort of take to it?
Yeah, I was lucky I was paired up with Marika Korobidi. And the Fijians, they're very renowned for hands-on work, mate. He was an absolute animal. I was more of a project manager. I was struggling with it. The both of us. Yeah, you get paired up and you get sent off. So the builders who get you, they're just licking their lips. They're just looking like, you know, 2 weeks, pretty strong fellas. They can get them to do anything. We don't have to pay them a dollar. So, it's pretty tough, but the boys get along with it. And then there's a sense of camaraderie, I suppose, after you do that, after you finish that, the torture camp, you've gone through it and everyone kind of, you knew you got through it, so you can kind of trust the player on the field. So it's an important thing, I suppose, there's an induction into the Storm and the club, I suppose, about the values you have for people.
Christian, to your knowledge, do other NRL clubs do this?
I don't think many people do the work induction, but there plenty of clubs do those pre-season games.
Oh, yeah, they work. Dave, are you aware of this? Does the AFL clubs do any of this? Do they do the 2 weeks solid, do this, have your early morning session, get out to work for 8 hours a day, and then we'll see you training that night?
Not that I know of. No, not like that.
Christian, it's, oh, I think I'd never heard of this before with the Melbourne Storm, so I apologise for not knowing about that. But I would imagine there'll be some others out there who are listening to this for the first time and go, well, that's one of the things that, no wonder. Like, so they'll be going, it might not seem like a massive deal for you and your mates who have been through this, but there will be people out there who will be listening to this like I am, I hope, thinking, well, of course, that's one of the reasons that this joint is a pretty special football club.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just think that's about, you know, giving you a bit of understanding on our position in the world. You know, we get paid, you know, highly well to chase the footy around. We get to do gym and travel and have a good time. So I think it gives you a good perspective on, I suppose, our life compared to some of those really tough jobs that are really tough.
Hey, we saw this week that Ivan Cleary up there at Penrith went to the tribunal to support one of his players. Abi Carousel had a one-match ban laid in front of him, and the coach decided to go and defend him at the tribunal. He could have had some legal representation, but Ivan Cleary said, no, I want to go and do this. May have been a couple of silks there as well, for all I know. But well, is that the sort? He didn't get it overturned. He failed to get Abi to play this week, but if Craig Bellamy said, listen, don't worry about the legal blokes this week, you know, you're up on a 2-week suspension, Christian, for doing something, and yeah, there's a couple of legal points you wouldn't mind having made in your defence, and Craig said, no, I'll come along and take the case for you tonight at the tribunal.
QC Bellamy.
Yeah, QC Craig. How would you feel about that?
Well, it's funny you say that. I actually got charged. I think it was going to cost me, I think, $1,600. And then if I fought it, I think I had to pay $2,200 or something. So I wasn't going to miss a game. And Frank Panisi, our former manager, he quit on me. He thought, mate, you're no chance. I said, no, let's take it on. So I went to the tribunal. I was armed with Ryan Hoffman, a.k.a. Dennis DeNudo. And we fought the good fight. We got up, boys. And I don't want to go as far as call myself the White Mandela. I was free to the chains, mate. I got out of there. I beat the tribunal. I was free. And I think Craig Bellamy would be terrible.
There you go. Excellent. That's what we wanted to
do. Did you throw your hands into the sky, Christian, when you got out of court and look up to the heavens?
100%. But I did it too early. I was still on the Zoom, so everyone heard. So I went a bit early.
I know you probably don't want to pump up your teammates too much, but I noticed this week that Wally Lewis said that Harry Grant's a genius. Now, and I don't know whether he's talking about his you know, acumen off the field, his intellect, or whether he's talking about him as a footballer. But the Harry Grant that you know, is he in fact a genius?
Yeah, I can confirm he is certainly not intellectually a genius. Okay. That is a definite no.
Right.
But on the field, mate, yeah, look, I'll take it. He's a brilliant player. So I'll let Wally give that one. And obviously, Wally's our greatest Queensland Origin player ever. So whatever Wally says, Wally gets.
That'll do.
I agree wholeheartedly with him.
He's the king.
Go Wally.
Did you stick with him?
Yeah.
Just before I let you go, did you stick with the D's the other night once the Lightning started striking and there was thunder and all sorts of stuff around? There was the 30-minute delay or 28-minute delay in that game. Did you stick with them?
Yeah, mate. As I said, they're tapering. Looking good, mate. My premiership, we're almost home, basically. So, you know, that working-class club of ours, we're just getting through the work, mate. We're just keeping our head down week to week. The boys are fired up. We're looking good. Good to see Tomlinson back out running. The boys getting around him. That's a sign of a culture. A good club. Look at it.
Love everything about it. Hey, good luck against Canberra tomorrow night, mate. It's a hell of a tear that you and your teammates are on. We hope it continues for many, many more weeks to come. It's always a joy to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us on the show again.
Thanks for having us on, fellas. Cheers.
Good man. Enjoy the chicken pesto.
Apparently Hawthorn
did it for a year. Yeah, right. But don't you love it? You're the clue collector. This is the stuff.
Yeah, the little things that are...
This works. I mean, the AFLW girls, well, anyway, AFLW girl will be listening and go, well, that's what we do every week. And that's what they do too every week. But there's very few male football teams playing in elite competitions around the place doing that these days.
The nuance there, though, of it being an induction, isn't it? This is part of you become us by going to go and do that.
That's what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're doing the camp.
I told you. I love it. Jack Redpath's value to our locker room while he was there as a mature age recruit, because he'd been a carpenter since he was 16, was worth its weight in gold. If players whinge about, oh, we got running today, he'd be like, mate,
shut up.
This is the greatest job in the world.
Yep.
And it carried more weight than it would have come from me or Matthew Boyd, or who'd played the game our whole lives.
Yep.
He's like, I have worked.
Yeah.
This is gravy.
Yep.
Get out there and work.